Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, to celebrate Michelle Yeoh for receiving her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, I am here today to review The Heroic Trio. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. And the past 2 months has been nothing but O2 episodes. It's been one thing after another here on the show. It was Valentine's Day. It was Lunar New Year, Black History Month, International Women's Day, St. Patrick's Day, Friday the 13th, twice. I fulfilled a challenge. Chuck Norris passed away. And all of those things are very good reasons to record an episode. I found something related to all of those, right? And yet, the entire time I'm over here thinking, oh my gosh, I can't forget to do an episode to celebrate Michelle Yeoh becoming the first Malaysian with a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Yes, it was International Women's Day earlier this month, but March is also Women's History Month, so it's like, yeah, I gotta make sure I spend some time with Michelle Yeoh. I haven't done any movies with Michelle Yeoh in it yet here on the show, so I really can't let this one get past me. Also, in the spirit of celebrating women once again here on the show, how about a special shout out to EJ and the rest of the cast and crew from K-Pop Demon Hunters for winning the Academy Award for Best Animated Film and also Best Original Song, with Golden becoming the first K-pop song to win that award. So yes, back in February, getting back to our actual purpose here today, Michelle Yeoh received her star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Congratulations to her. Round of applause. I guess I could just insert a sound effect of clapping there, but I can clap. If I can do the sound effect, I don't have to insert one later. Michelle Yeoh, I don't think, needs any introduction, but she has had a long, successful career doing film, particularly action films, although very recently has starred in other things like the Wicked films. But, you know, rose to prominence in the 80s and 90s, working alongside Jackie Chan, Cynthia Rothrock, in the early 2000s. I think in the year 2000, there was the, she was starred in the film Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, which has become one of the icons of the genre, one of the one of those must watch films of the genre, and still continues to make amazing films. Just a few years ago, she won an Academy Award herself for Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's just, she is a very successful and very good actress, and has made her way into, or very early on, into the action world, becoming a Bond girl, probably the most kick-ass Bond girl to ever be a Bond girl. The most kick-ass Bond girl to ever be a Bond girl. That's a sentence. Okay. And yet, through it all, I mean, she even got the nickname there for a while of being like the female Jackie Chan with her fighting style and stunt work. And yet, I'm sure at this point in her career, that has changed, I'm assuming, but she actually did not come from a martial art background. She was a dancer, I think, ballet. I could be wrong about that, but she was a dancer prior to getting into film, and has made a very successful career for herself of being like one of the faces of the martial art media category and of just action films in general, along with being one of the top leading ladies of the genre. So this put me in an interesting position of like, okay, this is my first Michelle Yeoh film to cover here on the show. Which one do I do? There's plenty to choose from. There's a lot of great answers out there. What do I do? And I decided to go with what may be more of a deep cut. This film, The Heroic Trio from 1993, isn't difficult to find, actually. If you have HBO Max, it's right there. You can very easily stream it right there. At least as of the recording of this episode, it's available there on HBO Max. God only knows what that thing is called now that you're listening to the episode, or even if it still exists. What is Paramount going to do? Because apparently Netflix is off the table. Anyway, I'm getting off track. So as I'm like browsing around and I come across this movie, I'm like, okay, I haven't heard of this one. It's a younger Michelle Yeoh. Okay, let's give it a try. Let's just see how this goes. And oh my gosh, I was here for the ride. Look, when it comes to martial art media, the 70s is celebrated for being this groundbreaking time period, the golden age of kung fu movies, and also being the high point of the blaxploitation genre. And then you have the 80s, which is definitely marked not just by like these awesome action films starring, you know, Chuck Norris and Stallone, Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, but also being like maybe more narrowly known for the ninja films, right? It's like a big shinobi era of the 80s. Oh my gosh, 90s Hong Kong action is becoming like my favorite thing. Okay, like I am here for it. It is so 90s. Any 90s Hong Kong action film I've watched is so 90s, even if it doesn't take place in the 90s. Like, this movie is kind of ambiguous when it takes place. It's categorized as a sci-fi fantasy action film, superhero action film. A lot of genres meshed into one here. I think it's sci-fi because there's like an experiment going on throughout this film, but based off of like the vehicles, the characters, the police department, it's giving like Batman the Animated Series, like kind of that like 40s maybe time period. It's kind of ambiguous, but you know, last year, about this time last year, I reviewed Legend of the Red Dragon starring Jet Li, or whatever title you prefer for that movie, and that one does not take place in the 90s, but it was made in the 90s, and it's just so 90s. It's the action is over the top, but not in like a big bombastic. It's cartoony without it being like comedic. There's like a funny character here in this movie, but it's like, you know, it's like watching a live action cartoon. I don't know how else to put it. Like, I remember when I reviewed Legend of the Red Dragon, I talked about how there's this part of the movie that it feels very much like a video game. Like, you kind of get that a little bit here. Like, it seems like the Hong Kong action films of the 90s were really trying to target, like, I don't know, kids maybe, or I just keep having to come across ones that as a child I think I would have absolutely loved. Like, it's a good, from an aesthetic standpoint, it's a lot of fun. I've really enjoyed it. I'm really starting to love this era, these action films from Hong Kong. And also, can we just take a moment to appreciate 90s superhero movies? Because like I said, this is a superhero movie. Technically, it is a superhero movie. And can we just take a moment to appreciate 90s superhero movies? Because obviously, the decade is probably more so, your mind's going to maybe more so go to one of the Batman movies or Blade. But like, the 90s was this time period for indie or just original concepts in the form of superheroes. Like, were they all good? No. I've talked about this before, that every era, decade, whatever, they have their ups and downs. You know, I absolutely love, from the 90s, The Phantom. I was a little kid when the movie came out, but I was like the prime audience once it hit TV. And The Phantom starring Billy Zane, like made me fall in love with the character. Still to this day, the Phantom is one of my favorite superheroes. As an adult, obviously the Crow, it played a big influence on me. I love the Crow. And for iconic films like that, you also have The Shadow starring Alec Baldwin. I like pulp era characters. Ironically, though, The Shadow has never landed for me. The Shadow is like the biggest pulp hero, and he has never landed for me. And that movie starring Alec Baldwin, it does not help the case at all. But you have like all these indie characters or pulp era, you know, you have Dick Tracy, The Mask, Darkman, The Rocketeer. Like, it's just this like this time period where we were making these superhero movies and they were simple. They were simple, but still kind of had like a cartoony-ishness to them, especially with The Mask. But like, there was like this groundedness to the characters, and the costumes are always like so simple. Like, yeah, the Batman costumes were always like, you kind of make fun of them because it looks very uncomfortable and not very functional. But like, I think a lot of 90s superhero costumes look functional. Like, they're first and foremost, their focus is on being like normal clothing and throw a mask on. With that all being said, I really enjoyed The Heroic Trio. Would I watch it again? Yes. Would I get a physical media copy of it? I think if this was one of those situations where I could find like a VHS tape, definitely, because it would be fun to have. A DVD, Blu-ray, maybe a combo with the sequel, which I'm forgetting what the sequel is called now, but there was two of these movies in the same year. There is an element, though, of the plot that doesn't necessarily sit well with me, and it's not going to sit well with other people as well, and I'll talk about that here. I will say, at this point, though, when it comes to that part, I will issue a bit of a trigger warning, because something is going to come up that is troubling for certain individuals, but this plot is wild. So there is a secret society led by a person that in the English subtitled version I was watching is referred to as the Grand Master. I guess in other translation or in other media forms, this individual is known as the Evil One. But it's like this secret society trying to bring back an emperor for China. And the way that they are doing this is by kidnapping newborn babies from the hospital, newborn boys from the hospital. And this grandmaster is going to go through and determine, based off of like star signs, which one of these infants is going to be the next emperor of China, and the rest of them are going to be turned into like super soldier kind of thing. The cops don't know what to do. They're pretty, I don't want to say they're pretty useless, except for the like the chief of the police. It's basically Chief Wiggum from The Simpsons. He's not that bright. But thankfully, there are a couple superheroes in this town that I don't think they've ever given a name, that apparently this town is going to produce the next emperor of China, allegedly. There are a couple superheroes here in town that are going to help. First off, we have Wonder Woman. No, not that Wonder Woman. But you can probably see the irony of the fact that this character is named Wonder Woman and is also streaming on HBO Max. This Wonder Woman is a sword-wielding, knife-throwing hero. She is basically the Superman of this town. What Superman is to Metropolis, Wonder Woman is to this place. Again, I'm pretty sure they never say where this takes place. Presumably somewhere in China. But she is on the mission to figure out what is going on? Who is kidnapping these infants? She is played by Anita Moy. For those of you who don't know, Anita Moy was the queen of Cantopop. She was the biggest star in the Cantopop genre, was the one who revolutionized it there in the 80s and 90s, eventually had this major sellout show in London where she was then dubbed the Madonna of Asia. So she is like a big deal star. Arguably, she's the one with the star power in this film. By this point, Michelle Yeoh is a big named person in action cinema, but especially there in Hong Kong, but like by way of just pure star power, Anita Moy is the one carrying the film, and she is the main character. She is the center of the heroic trio. She sadly though, in real life, Anita Moy died at the age of 40 from cervical cancer. She passed away in the early 2000s. But she's great here in this movie, and kudos to the producers and whoever wrote this movie for not giving her some kind of like singing superpower, like she's Dazzler or something. No, she's got swords and she's got knives. The other superhero here in town is Thief Catcher. And Thief Catcher is the vigilante of the group, I guess you could say. She is a shotgun-wielding, stick-of-dynamite-throwing bounty hunter, essentially. If this movie is supposed to be like a pulp-era noir-style film, although it's not noir at all, but if that's kind of the time period we're working with, Wonder Woman is your standard superhero archetype, while Thief Catcher is more of like the femme fatale. Wonder Woman and Michelle Yeoh's character, they both wear cool outfits, but very functional. Thief Catcher, it's got a little bit more of like a long jacket that covers like lingerie. She's riding around on a motorcycle. She has these really cool goggles that she wears too. It's not like usual goggles that people would wear like when they're riding a motorcycle or like an old plane, but they're like rectangular instead of circular. It looks really cool. But she gets involved here in the case early on, not so much to help Wonder Woman, but as much as the chief of police, this guy who's basically Chief Wiggum. His wife just had a baby, and he has hired Thief Catcher to save their baby, who was kidnapped by this mysterious invisible person that is kidnapping these children. Enter Michelle Yeoh. Yes, technically, for a little bit of this film, Michelle Yeoh works not as the bad guy, but as the right-hand person to the Grandmaster. She is the Invisible Woman. And she was one of the old soldiers of the Grandmaster, raised to be, all three of them were at different points, raised to be like these warrior types, and she's still under the thumb of the Grandmaster and is going to follow orders like a good soldier, but eventually Wonder Woman and Thief Catcher bring her over to their side. And this really cool shot of Wonder Woman and the Invisible Woman, not that Invisible Woman, but Michelle Yeoh, Invisible Woman, riding on horses while Thief Catcher is riding on her motorcycle in the middle. It's a pretty cool visual. Action-wise, it's a lot of kung fu wire work, sword fighting as well. There is some like darker elements within this movie as well, along with kidnapping the infants and then raising them to be soldiers. Children do die at one point. That essentially, once they get to this state of being like these super soldiers, they're not zombies, but they're basically like there's no coming back from it, essentially. So Thief Catcher does kill some of them in the process, But there's also this like warrior guy who gets killed, loses fingers, is cannibalized by the other children at one point. And but he like constantly is regenerating, or maybe I just wasn't paying that enough attention and there's just like multiple copies of him for some reason. He does most of the fighting in this movie, obviously. I just, yeah, he's getting beaten up a lot. But to his credit, I popped hard for this part. The first movie I reviewed here on the show, Master of the Flying Guillotine, at one point he's trying to track down, I think it's Michelle Yeoh. He's trying to track down Michelle Yeoh's character. I forget now, but I think he's trying to track her down. And he's going around town with a flying guillotine. And I thought it was cool, you know, in the Master of the Flying Guillotine, you just see the thing go on and then ripped off with the pew sound every time they threw it. It's like that ricochet bullet sound thing. But here, he throws it, it lands, and you get to see a moment of the knives like stick out and kind of cut the individual before he rips it off. Nowhere near as gruesome as Master of the Flying Guillotine with the head removal. They kind of conceal it a little bit, as opposed to the final showdown of this movie, where it is gruesome and like taking a page out of Evil Dead for this final fight. So it's all three of them now: Wonder Woman, Thief Catcher, and the Invisible Woman. By the way, why do women always work in groups of three in pop culture? We have the Heroic Trio, Huntrix, the Hex Girls, and most notably, the Powerpuff Girls. Why is this a thing? I guess Ocean's 8 should have just been Ocean's 3. Anyway, so we get to this final showdown. It's the Heroic Trio going up against the Grand Master. And it's they're just getting their butts kicked, okay? This Grand Master has all kind of like, not only martial arts, but like magic abilities as well. Eventually, though, Thief Catcher is able to plant a stick of dynamite on the Grand Master, blows them up. And it looks like everything's good until the Grandmaster comes walking out of this blaze of fire, just like skeleton and muscle. It's almost like the Terminator walking out from like something being on fire. Michelle Yeoh goes over and starts punching him in the face to try and finish the Grandmaster off, when all of a sudden the muscles and the bones like come on to Michelle Yeoh and take over her body and start doing the movements and fighting the other two Heroic Trio members. It's very cheesy. It made me laugh. It reminded me of Evil Dead, and so I loved it. And it ends, so how do you defeat this person? Like, now they're running out of ideas. So they're running out of ideas on how to save the day. So what they do is Michelle Yeoh jumps off a building, and there's like this quick like flashes in her brain of all these different moments throughout the movie, and it makes the Grandmaster so overwhelmed with her pain and trauma that their brain explodes out the back of their head and he lets go of her. That's how they defeat the Grandmaster, through the power of trauma dumping. Hooray, we all knew it was good for something. One last thing about this movie, I'm gonna start cutting this close, aren't I? So one last thing about this movie, kind of going back to the whole like why I think 90s superhero movies are so underappreciated. There's like this simplistic, almost cartoonishness to a lot of these movies. But also, I love the fact that a lot of times the heroes have no superpowers whatsoever. Nobody here has superpowers. Obviously, if you count wire work, then I guess technically they're all falling with style. But Wonder Woman, sword and knives. Thief Catcher, Shotgun, and Sticks of Dynamite. Michelle Yeoh, yes, she turns invisible, but it's from a robe that she wears. She has like this science made through science robe that turns her invisible. So, and I liked that. I liked how nobody had superpowers. Everybody is technically human. And, you know, here it is again within the same month. I'm talking about wire work. And for me in this context, this works. When wire work is done in a, quote, real world scenario, that's when it's hard for me to stay engaged. But here, where you have superheroes and, you know, evil magic sorcerers and this kind of stuff, like, I don't know. It just kind of, it makes more sense to me. They already have like a pretty high pain tolerance. They're basically all invulnerable. So yeah, they can also leap really far. Let's do it. Anyway, so once again, congratulations to Michelle Yeoh. Big accomplishment. And looking forward to doing more Michelle Yeoh films here on the show. I'll have to see if Anita Moy has done any other films. I never mentioned who played Thief Catcher, did I? Hold on a sec. So Thief Catcher, sorry, I'm glad I remembered. Thief Catcher is played by Maggie Cheung, who was, or still is, an actress, been acting in film for a very long time. Now she primarily focuses on doing charitable work for UNICEF, but is just another longtime actress in Hong Kong film cinema. So that's that. Great movie. It's a little, like I said, there are some parts that are a little upsetting when it comes to the children part of the film, but otherwise, fun 90-minute, kind of bonkers action, superhero, horror, fantasy, sci-fi thing. You get a little bit of everything here. It's something for everyone. Thanks for listening to today's episode. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend and check out the other great shows here on the In the Sound Ministries podcast network, like Page and Pixel, Why I Don't Like, Systematic Ecology, and my sister show, My Seminary Life. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the show before the get a review of the movie before the episode comes out. And check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.